Good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and today's show is going to blow you away because I have a surprise for you. I'm going to do something that I haven't done before, and when you see this, you are going to be amazed. But before I get into the show, to the guests, to the surprises, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go be an activist, go be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show, and just wake everyone up. That's what I want you to do. Everyone who's in your house, who's asleep, wake them up. Let them know the Roundtable Talk Show is on, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. And especially today, I know I say it every day, but especially today, you want to make sure they watch this show because some of the information that we share today can help save lives. So I want to go ahead and introduce our first guest, Mr. Michael Levitt. See, I said that correctly. Michael Levitt. He is the chief burnout officer. Is that what it is?
Yes, it is.
I was reading too fast because I'm seeing you have a breakfast leadership network.
Yes, I do. With the
Breakfast leadership.
media, podcast, all kinds of good stuff.
Do you lead people to the breakfast?
I'm usually there first. Yes, so that would be it.
Was just giving you a hard time, Michael. But you're
Somebody's
also,
got to.
because it's early in the morning. Usually, when I start doing weird stuff, it's a Friday. Today is Thursday. I got too many appointments for today, and my brain is all over the place. But I saw breakfast, and I was like, it was like a squirrel.
There you go.
I need to come to your leadership network.
There you go.
Okay. Another thing that I found interesting was that you are a certified virtual speaker. Didn't know there
Yep.
was such a thing.
Yeah, it's something that's relatively new, especially in this pandemic world where our stages are often our home offices instead of conference halls. It's a way to go through and make sure you have all the technology and ability to be able to present your talk in a virtual way that resonates with the audiences and can be as professional as possible, again, without being in, proper conference lighting and all of other things that we are typically used to when we get to speak on stages. But I was thrilled to be able to pass that certification. It was 23 tests that you had to pass in order to get this thing. So it wasn't a case of, yeah, here's $50, give me a certificate. No, it was pretty robust to get it done. So I'm very happy that I was able to do that.
Was it able to open up doors for you? That's always my question.
By the end of 2020, I will have spoken at minimum 30 different events. So the answer is yes. It's really moved things forward because there's a lot of events that have virtualized that are looking for speakers. And on the topic of burnout, which is my main keynote, there's a lot of people burning out right now. So it's a popular topic with a lot of agencies and organizations across the globe.
The obvious question would be, why focus on burnout? There are so many people having the discussion on burnout because everyone as a community, as a whole, as a people, we're suffering from burnout. But what was your motivation to focus on that specific niche?
I had my own burnout journey back in 2009 and 2010, and what had happened to me is I was in a healthcare role as an executive and was burning out and was completely burned out, and it nearly cost me everything. I had a over a period of a year from May 2009 to 2010, I had a heart attack that should have killed me. I lost my job during the Great Recession. My car was repossessed and my home was foreclosed, all in a year. And that was because I was burned out, and I realized that I didn't ever want to experience anything like that again. So I had to reinvent myself, which took time and effort. But when I did, I realized, wow, I'm not the only person on the planet that's going through something like this. So that's when I made a shift in my life and decided, okay, I need to talk about this and bring awareness to this. And of course, with this pandemic, We're seeing studies that are indicating over 70% of people surveyed are identifying as being burned out. So we have a pandemic in the middle of our pandemic, and it needs to be addressed because you don't have to be burned out. There's ways to avoid it. And that's what I talk about and give people tips that they can implement easily and quickly to stop the burnout. But then the deeper work comes into figuring out why you burned out in the first place. What were your behaviors, your thoughts, your decisions, the environment that you're in? All of these things play a big part in leading us into our burned out state. The key is to make adjustments so you don't go through it again. Because it saddens me to hear people say, "Oh, I've been burned out a few times in life." Well, I had it once and it nearly took me out. So I don't want to flirt with that again. So I designed a life for myself that is free from burnout, and that's possible for others as well.
Is that what happened to your hair?
I would like to blame it on that, but there's when I look at my family tree and my relatives, on at least my mom's side, there's a lot of people and generations that have saved a ton of money on shampoo. So, and I'm one of them. It's able for me to buy lights and computers and things, so I guess I don't have to spend money on shampoo. It's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. I like it. I just didn't know if that was like the trademark burnout look where you get stressed and your hair falls out and then you come back because you look like you're glowing in the face. I just didn't know about the hair.
Yeah, there you go. It's a good one of the images that I use in some of my presentations is my good friend Nancy, and she's got really long, thick blonde hair. So there's an image of her just basically pulling her hair out, kind of thing. And I use that, and I said, "Well, I would use a picture of me pulling my hair out, but that's I can't really did it. So I have to, outsource that and bring in another photo."
No, I mean, I hear you, and I always say you have to laugh to keep from crying because you just listed a whole laundry list of things that you went through, and now you're just rattling them off like items at the grocery store. But I know when you were going through that period, that 1 year, it wasn't that easy. It wasn't that easy to laugh. It wasn't that easy to joke. And people right now are going through it. There are so many people who are having that experience right now. The whole world has shifted and they don't know what to do and they don't have a name for it. And it really is burnout. So what are some of the things that you recommend that people do and how can they, not only what can they do, but do you offer any guidance or resources or tips directly that they can get from working with you?
Yeah, one of the biggest things I tell people do is focus at minimum. The first thing you need to do is make sure you get restful sleep, because we do so much damage to our bodies on a daily basis, and we can live the healthiest of lives, but we still damage ourselves every day. And when we sleep and we get good restful sleep, that's when our body repairs the damage that we've done. Now, if you don't get restful sleep, guess what? The damage that you've done to yourself today gets piled onto the damage that happens tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. And then you end up with clogged arteries and all kinds and hair loss and a variety of different challenges. And it really has a big impact on there. So get some restful sleep. The second thing that oftentimes happens is people stop doing, especially when they're burned out, they lose the motivation to do things that they enjoy in life. So they stop doing things that they love. And an exercise that I have people do, and I refer to this as my bucket list, which is different than the bucket list that we're all familiar with, where you have this list of things you want to do in life before you die. These are things that you do all the time and you love. They bring you joy and fulfillment. They can be going to your favorite coffee shop, going for a walk, going to movies, concerts, whatever. But people stop doing those things. So what I have people do is list out on a piece of paper all the things that they love doing in life that bring them joy and fulfillment and happiness. And after a few minutes, after they've got the list as complete as they can, then to the right of each of those items, I have them write down the last time they did those things. And I tend to hear moans and groans because people stop doing things that they like doing in life. And of course, I ask them the question, "Well, why?" And they say, "Well, they don't have time." Yes, we do. Every one of us gets 24 hours. It's how we choose to do it. And then I ask people to take their calendar in the next 10 days, take two or three of those items, put it on your calendar and schedule it, and don't cancel that appointment. Treat it as if it's the most important meeting you've ever had with your boss, because the boss of your life is you. You control your life, and it's important for you to do that because we delegate things, we stop doing things that we enjoy. And when I see these lists of things that people love to do and enjoy, the majority of them would take less than 20 minutes to do and cost less than $20. So it's not a time or a money thing for many. It's just they just stop doing it. And you do a couple of those things a week, it makes your life more fulfilled, more happy. And when you're happier and you feel better, your ability to deal with stress improves. So the stress actually lowers and you keep the stress at a low level. And when you do that, it doesn't, end up being a prolonged stress, which is what turns into burnout. It's, mental, physical stress that hasn't been dealt with for a period of time and it just, spirals out of control into a burned out state.
And that's definitely where we do not want to be. We want to make sure we are as positive, uplifting as we can be. And that way we can help others, which is my primary focus. But I'm inspired by your story. I'm going to come back to you, Michael, but I want to introduce our next guest. He has been here before, and when he shared his story initially, almost the entire panel was ready to cry. It is just a story of overcoming obstacles and believing in yourself. I would love to introduce Mr. Frederick Amina, who he'll tell you a little bit about his story, but he was someone who didn't believe in himself, felt he didn't have the ability to do it, and now he's an author. Good morning, Frederick. How are you?
Morning, I'm great. I'm great. I'm doing great.
I was going to say it from your bio, from your story the last time, you start off by saying that you were illiterate. And now you're an author. And I don't even, certain words that I don't even like to mention. I don't like to use words like illiterate or that kind of thing, but you struggled with reading when you were a child.
Yes, I did. I couldn't read, couldn't write. I overcame all of that. Yeah, it was I guess how I came illiterate, I just was afraid to ask. I was
Okay.
afraid to ask teachers.
So as a young child, you were unable to read and write. You are an author. How did you get from where you were to where you are now?
How did I get from wherever to where I'm now? I guess I just was tired of being tired. No, I was tired of being tired. But yeah, growing up, I was illiterate. And but it's funny. I just couldn't get it when I was young. I used to try to read, and my teacher used to help me. My parents used to help me. And no matter how much anybody helped me, I just didn't get it until after I graduated from high school. So I guess I'm m matured after high school to learn. But what I learned, how I overcame illiteracy was just I just had to keep doing things repetitive to go over and over. When I was young, after I used to read 1, 5 minutes or 10 minutes, but after that I just used to quit. So I guess I wasn't interested. If I could say that. But as I got older, now I wanted to learn. Just like people with addictions, the only way you can quit your addiction is you gotta wanna quit. So what helped me overcome illiteracy is I wanted to learn how to read now. Right? So it wasn't no magic trick. I just had to get in there and just kept pushing, kept reading, kept trying until finally one day I got it.
And would you say that it wasn't a magic trick? But sometimes I think the magic trick is something that inspires us to want to do that. Because if we haven't wanted to do it all along, we weren't inspired, we didn't think of it, it wasn't important to us. Usually something happens to change the trajectory. Some happen, it's a book, a movie, a television show. Somebody gives you some inspiring words, and all of a sudden you're like, you know what? I want to better myself. So was there any defining moment for you?
Yeah, when I was a little boy, my grandmother was a pastor at a church, and this lady came one day. This lady came to a church, and she told my grandmother, "I'm gonna go throughout the world for the good Lord." But I was like 3rd or 4th grade, but I was looking at the lady, and I was like, How is that going to happen? I can't even read. You know, we don't have money and this and that. But after she said that, that sparked, like, I had that. After she said that, from my youth all the way to my adulthood, I always had, like, she planted a seed in my heart. And for some reason, I always knew I was going to do great things. But I didn't know how it was going to happen. I actually, growing up, I literally thought somebody was just going to give me $10 million and I was gonna feed the poor and do this and that. I never ever thought in a million years that it'll be from my hands. Like what I shared with you earlier, how I wrote the book was, I can read now, but I still have hard time to spell. So I actually use my phone to write the book. I use the phone to write the book as I was writing. I'd be like, oh, I can't spell it. I just say it in my phone and use the spell check. So what I notice is there's always things around you that can help you fulfill your purpose here in life. You know, even if you don't have it, there's always something out here that can help you fulfill
I
your
think
purpose.
that's beautiful. I mean, I always tell my kids the entire time growing up, the one thing they know I say is where there's a will, there's a way. When you really want something, you'll figure out a way to make it happen. When you wanted to write that book, you had, problems spelling. You wanted to make people do it all the time. I use it all the time, autocorrect on my phone to make sure the word is without autocorrect. Oh my God, y'all whole bios and everything would be horrible. Okay, so I applaud you.
Yeah, you know, I wrote this book in 6 months. As I was listening to Michael's story, that's very powerful. Man, I wrote this book in 6 months to four surgeries. Last two chapters, my daughter is in the hospital. So I know what it means to persevere because I was on the last two chapters and my daughter ended up in the hospital. She had this thing called osteomyelitis. It's bone
Wow.
infection.
I'm sorry to hear that. Do
No,
you
no,
have
no.
her? Do you have
No.
your book?
Yep. She's all good now, but here's the book.
Oh, goodness and mercy. Preach
Yeah.
goodness and mercy for all the days. That's what
Yeah.
we have to do. Yes.
Yeah. It wasn't good that that happened to her, but as we was in the hospital, they had her in the cancer section. As I looked around, I seen some kids. I was like, hey, some of these kids ain't going home. And some of these parents need hope. So the book, what I wrote about the book is just how I overcame illiteracy, alcoholism, friends committing suicide, how my family dealt with unexpected death of loved ones, and how we persevered through all of this. So as I was in the hospital, I was like, hey, Lord, now I know why I'm here. There's a purpose. So I donated a few books to this hospital in Hawaii because the book is just mostly, is the book is not most, the book is about hope. And as I looked in there, I said, that's why I'm here. That's what I'm 40 years, not 40 years old, young now, but that's what I'm planning on now. Everything happens for a reason. Even being in the hospital, because the doctor said if my daughter would have come one day later, she would have died because the poison would have been in her blood. So what is the coincidence of being there one day before she dies, and then you can give hope to other people?
That one of the things I talked about when I ran for city council, when they asked about the cures of the world, and I always mentioned the first thing you have to do is give people hope. Without hope, they have nothing because they don't believe that they can get a job. They don't believe that they can get housing. They don't believe that they can do so many different things until they have hope. So I applaud you, what you're doing, spreading God's goodness and mercy. It's beautiful. I'm going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. And it was such a pleasure this morning to wake up and get a notification from my social media that I was mentioned in a post. And what is this? Because I'm always like, I have to see immediately what people say about Sharifa Hardy. And I saw it. And it was this cute little video. And I'd never had anyone do a video prior to coming on the show. And it was so wonderful. And I just appreciate the next guest excitement, Ms. Jofia Banyan. And she's going to talk to us a little bit about fires. We got fires in California, but those are not the fires she puts out with her processes. Good morning, Jofia. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for having here. And I'm so happy, Sharifa, that this little post—it's really nothing—made your morning better. I am glad to hear that.
Yes. And before we get started, because I don't know how we're going to be, but you're calling in all the way from Hungary, correct?
Yes, I am in Hungary right now.
Yes. Well, you are amazing. I just want to go back and I want to mention that because you said it's really nothing. And I always like to remind people sometimes the smallest things can mean a lot to other people. So for you, taking that 15 seconds to just say, I'm excited, was nothing to you, but it was something that I truly enjoyed. It was beautiful and I appreciate it. So if everyone wants to check out your video, I posted it all over my social media on Instagram, on LinkedIn, on everywhere, just to see your smiling face. So that is so beautiful. But I want to talk about your company because I'm someone who's always needs help, always needs assistance. And I think pre-COVID, people were kind of leery about anything virtual. You know, they we're not going virtual. Then all of a sudden, COVID hit and our entire globe became virtual. And you've been assisting through your company and your processes to help people get virtual assistance and put out some of those fires, correct?
Yes, that's correct. And that's where I'd like to also connect what Michael has said about burnout. So, yes, burnout indeed is a real thing, and especially for entrepreneurs, for solopreneurs who are fighting their daily fights and doing their business from accounting to emails to sales to marketing, everything in one hand. So they are wearing all those hats and it's hard. And whether burnout comes or not, it's not really a question. The question rather when it will hit them. So I strongly believe that it's really important for them to reach out for help. And yes, we have this great and amazing tool here around us, which is called internet. Thanks God for it. And we can use it to get help even from the other part of the world. And virtual assistants and outsourcing is here for a while. Previously, mostly multinational companies used it. Now we have sites like Upwork, Fiverr, where you can easily go and find someone to help you with a little project or a longer task in the long run. But if you don't plan it, if you don't have the actual process strategically planned, then you might end up in a serious dissatisfaction because throwing tasks to a virtual assistant can work, but can result in some sort of catastrophe or real problem that will make you very, very disappointed. So what I'd like to tell to all solopreneurs, all entrepreneurs, all to my clients is to make sure that you do outsourcing strategically with well-planned processes, and that's how I help.
No, I like that. One of the most difficult aspects for me always has been is this whole idea of delegation. It's very, very hard for me to delegate. And that I liked Michael's sign in the back. I was reading it, the whole, I can't see it now, but it's the OCD kind of aspect. It's like to a certain extent, what is it? Yours says CDO or something, Michael?
Yeah, it says I have CDO, which is like OCD, but the letters are in alphabetical order as they should be.
Yes. So it's like I need this to be perfect. And it's like even when my kids were growing up and I would tell them to clean their rooms, I'm like, okay, I want you to clean to my standards, not to your standards, like clean to my standards. And it's the same thing with work. I'm always so leery about letting something go, and especially someone who's virtual, because I want to sit down. I want to show you know, let's work together. Let me understand that you know exactly what I need you to do. And that can be very difficult, especially in a virtual environment.
So having OCD and the issue of people who are having OCD asking me about that, that's one of my favorite questions because I can tell you that you are maybe one of the best people to outsource because you can put the procedure down perfectly and there is help out there who can just perform the procedure you put down in writing or in a video. And even if you don't have OCD, but you are doing a kind of a task that you have to do it repetitively, make sure to write it down how you do that. I know you know it now how to do that, but maybe in the next month when you have to pick up this task again, you have to go in to think about how was it? Oh my God, where did I click? What was the password? This kind of thing. Write it down, take print screens, record a video, and that's the perfect start to give it to an outsourcer. And if you have OCD, I'm sure you can do it perfectly.
I like that. That was a good answer. Good answer, Jophia. She was like, good, that works. If you have OCD, make this video, make sure to include all the different steps, and you will be good. What inspired you to start your business?
Previously, I worked in a corporate career. I worked in companies. I was a tax expert. Then I became an operation manager at a company, helping to set up their processes. And that's where it all kicked in. I wanted to start my own business because I realized that small companies do need this help as well. And I wanted to work with them because I feel like if a company is like below 5 people, it's already very, very fresh and much easier to put together the processes. So I also value my life, and I like the task when I don't have to get completely crazy with issues and hard things. So I am happy to help with these little companies before the big boost of workload kicks in to get everything in order, so they don't have to go into really, really hard situations. I also think that it came from the fact that I have a history degree, which I know it's sounds weird talking about business that I used to study history, but I do feel that I have a little bit different view on business decisions and business processes than others. And I can't really put my finger on how, but I always felt a little bit weird in business discussions because I have this different view. That's just, strange.
You seem like a lot of fun though. You seem like the one person that I would connect with in the meeting with all of the suits. Like there are suits, and Jophia and I would be sitting there having discussions on business and the way we should move. I think it would be great. I'm going to come back to you, Jophia, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. And it's a husband and wife couple who are going to come today and discuss the recent changes in their lives. I want to introduce Mr. Stephen and Rebecca McDowell. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning and
Good
good
morning.
things.
Now, okay, this is breaking news. We want to talk about your situation. I don't want to give too much preamble because I want it to be on the record. I want it to be clear. But from my understanding, you're going to give your background on what you were doing. But you went in and asked a question, a specific question about COVID-19, and then you wound up here with me this morning. Did I say that correctly?
Absolutely. Well,
Yes, you did.
absolutely. Well, I just want to thank you again for having me as a panelist on the show. I work as a cooperative business advocate as a way to build equity in both rural and urban America. I'm also an entrepreneur. Last time my mom and I came on, we're actually building a set of technologies for people with disabilities. I've spoken internationally and also locally about co the cooperatives and entrepreneurship. I'm very, very involved with speaking up for the marginalized. My wife and I actually co-produce and co-host a international podcast called Bipolar Girl, about mental health, tearing down the stigma of mental health. It's heard all around the world. So suffice it to say, our lives and my life is committed to standing up for what was right. Just on August 18th, I received a call from my boss, then boss at the Keystone Development Center, a nonprofit where I worked, where she then started accusing me of my birds, my goats, my kids, and my wife being a distraction. And I said, I'm sorry, I don't agree. My kids know that, not to bother me during work hours. My wife does work next to me. She works for the Department of Justice. So I said, I'm sorry, I don't understand and I don't agree. And we got off of the phone. I took 2 days off because, speaking of burnout, I had to replace my water treatment center in my house and also take care of some business. If not, we would have had a Flint, Michigan here. Our water pH balance was really off. So my wife and I spent quite the investment to correct that. Well, on the 21st, which was a day that I was off, I get this letter from my boss telling me
You have to go to the office.
that I have to go to the office.
3 times a week.
3 times a week, which I live in the state of Maryland and our home office is in the state of Pennsylvania. And then she accused me of, again, of having house distractions. And I was so confused. And I wrote back to her and I said, please specify what you were pointing to. And then I also asked, what is the COVID policy now?
In the state of Maryland, as it stands right now, if he was to travel outside the state, he would have to get a COVID test as soon as he comes back.
Right. So I did ask that. I said, you know, so I asked the question on the 21st and I never heard anything throughout the weekend. And this was on my day off. She sent the letter. So it wasn't like we sat down, we had a discussion, we signed paperwork, you know, none of that. Well, on Monday, she responded saying the office is empty and you'll be fine there. It's safe. And I said, well, that's not a COVID policy. I am very uncomfortable with what you're asking me, and I'm going to ask the board chair.
The COVID and CDC says that a hazardous site, what did they call it? Hazardous site review needs to be done on any office building that opens up for COVID. Like how are they going to clean it? What is the PPE going to be like for employees? Is it secure? Who's going to be in it? They have to. There's certain steps that need to be taken before you can bring people back to work.
So I asked the question to the board president, Bill Walker, at the time. I sent an email and I said an emergency response is needed. I have to worry about the safety of myself and my family. I never heard anything. It was no acknowledgement of receipt. The next day I sent it to the wider board because I said, I thought that this policy needs to be addressed. You know, the executive director is asking me to do something that I'm very uncomfortable with. Well, to make a long story short, I never heard anything. I got a phone call at 4:20 yesterday from the executive director stating that you are hereby terminated effective immediately. And I said, oh, well, on what grounds? She said, I cannot say. And as of 11:32 a.m. Eastern time, I still have not received a reason that I was terminated. And I am I'm shocked.
Wow, I'm shocked as well. I am sorry to hear that that happened to you. I want to go over to Michael real quick. Michael, have you, you know, you're dealing with a lot of companies, a lot of businesses, a lot of as far as burnout and going through these situations, and sometimes it feels that it's something that's hard to juggle. Have you experienced anything like this? Heard of anything like this?
This is an extreme case, but I've heard variances of something like this. And Stephen, I would highly implore you, especially now with different states, there's different rules, but yeah, I would definitely seek legal counsel on this because it definitely smells of a wrongful dismissal. There's some harassment, a lack of clarity. They didn't handle the termination right at all. You were not given. And I'm not a lawyer, but I've dealt with in HR and all that stuff for a long time and work with HR organizations. So I know, you know, there's a lot of rules and guidelines that are supposed to be followed. And it does not appear from based on what you said that your former employer has followed any of those things. And it's definitely unfortunate. And I feel bad, but tragedy creates opportunity. And I think you'll be able to take this experience and pivot up to something that's bigger and better for you. And yeah, because even the conditions of making you come into an office of one, for what purpose? I always tell people, organizations that say, oh, we got to bring everybody back. And it's like, but you've been doing work remotely without any issues. The cat's already out of the bag. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic over these next few months and years to see, you know, what exactly is going to happen when it comes to workforces, because I think employees are going to question. They're going to go, what do you mean I need to come back? There's no need for me to come back, again, depending on their role. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, this is definitely a situation I would recommend definitely talking with an employment attorney on this, because you definitely have rights. And again, from my observation, They were definitely violated on several fronts. So, and the fact that you were terminated via phone and you haven't even received any correspondence listing reasons why is a huge violation of things. And if there's no history of any previous challenges or write-ups or things for you and on things like that, this is completely out of the blue from what it sounds like, then that's even more evidence. It's like you were an upstanding employee, did things well, no issues whatsoever, and all of a sudden, poof, you're gone. Yeah, that screams of something. You know, if it was a case where the organization was losing money and they had to lay you off, well, then they certainly could have done that in a much easier and more human way than what was done today. So I feel bad for you, but yeah, like I said, that's my recommendation is, you know, get in touch with an employment lawyer that's familiar with Pennsylvania law, because that's where the employee is based out of, and then go from there.
Well, absolutely. I thank you for that. And thank you for that feedback. I will tell you that what was odd here is just 2 weeks prior to that phone call and letter, she told me to keep up the good work. Also, prior to that, she also gave me a bonus on one of my checks.
For
the good work. My work
Rebecca's
is also
like, that's how I got this new purse.
You know, my work is well documented publicly. In fact, colleagues are calling me all the time saying, you know, oh wow, you know, since you've been there at that organization, we definitely see a difference. And, you know, thank you for your work. So, you know, it's well documented. It is, you know, I'm not perfect. But I mean, if she wants to say she fired me because, like, maybe I forgot to put a name in a database, I mean, you know, I mean, even without a formal written warning, that's still not a fireable offense in what I understand.
And there haven't been any kinds of, what was shocking is there hasn't been any kind of performance issues other than this email. Like, there was never I work for the federal government, so everything's very legalistic, but I mean, we have performance reviews and we have,
but I think that's standard. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I think that's standard, even you know, because the last company that I worked for was American Express, which was one of the comments that I was gonna make to Jofia and everything that she's talking about, you know, having the processes, having the procedures, because that's one of the things that differentiates larger corporations from small solopreneurs, is that they don't have those processes, they don't have those procedures. But even without being a government agency, they have a disciplinary process. It's there for a reason that you have to go through certain steps, beginning with verbals and then writtens, and you have to write them up in order to write them out. You can't just decide. And especially, I don't know, you know, because I'm here in California. In California, we have certain and California protects the employee. Like that's what they're concerned about, is the employee here in California.
Yeah, and there was no performance reviews or any kind of warnings or anything like that. It was just very sudden and very out of the blue.
Yeah, and I'm really shocked that they would take this approach, and especially because most organizations have a whistleblower policy. I mean, I understand that, you know, the board says, well, you know, I'll leave day-to-day staff issues to the executive director.
But the policy issues are board issues.
But the policy issues are board issues. And if someone is asking you to do something that's going to potentially put you in harm's way, if the board can't stand as the final authority and manage that and arbitrate that issue, then what's the point of having a board of directors at a 501c3? I'm not, you know. So that's kind of what I'm sort of noodling on today, is that process to which, you know, it happened, especially because in the co-op space, we claim to fight for justice and equity and all of these things that people stand up and wave their banners on. And I didn't see that in this process at all.
One of the things though, and I want to go over to Frederick real quick, is what are your thoughts on creating opportunity out of disadvantages? You're hearing their story, what just happened. This is real life. And I hate to use the word story, but this is what they're going through right now, Frederick.
Yeah, like what Mike said earlier, you can turn, you know, tragedy into triumph, because when I wrote this book, I was at home watching TV. What inspired me? I was at home watching TV and I was like, damn, I can tell better stories than that what's on TV now. And it's real. Because the reason why I was at home, I lost my job. So I was writing this book. I lost my job because I got hurt at work. I end up in the hospital from pancreatitis for alcoholism because I was an alcoholic too. So I overcame alcoholism, illiteracy, losing my job, and financial things, my kids, on top of going through a divorce, going through all of these things to become the person I am now. Yeah. Like you can turn tragedy into triumph. You know, now it's crazy because last year, it just popped up on my Facebook. Last year, 1 year ago, I spoke at the second biggest library here in Hawaii because I used all library resources to write the book because I didn't have money. But they asked me to come and share my story with the community to share to show how valuable the libraries are. Because growing up, I just thought libraries was old people and books. I didn't know how much knowledge and wisdom was in the library. So, but as I was over there speaking, never in a million years I ever thought I'd be speaking with senators and Congress people. And the reason why I'm on your show now too is because I speak all over the world now, but I still get nervous and I still get feel like I want to throw up, feel like I want to pass out because I wasn't raised to be a speaker. Man. It's like I'm on the job training now. So I always try to get on as much shows as I can to get comfortable and used to speaking in front of people. But the crazy thing is I've been doing this for 3 years and I still feel like I want to pass out or
don't pass out on us, Frederick. We need after the show to pass out. Well, the thing about it is you're one of those people that has to open up. And so when you're just sitting there laid back, chilling in Hawaii, like I speak with senators and Congress people, you know, and it's like, share your story because this can inspire someone else. That's what I'm saying. Like I was laid off 8 times. Mm-hmm. Had I not been laid off, I would not be sitting here with you today. And that's why my first book was called, and here's your box, God kept closing the door because I wanted to get a job. That's what I wanted to do. I always wanted to be an employee, but I kept getting laid off. It, you know, never fired, but companies relocated, companies downsized, you know, but I'm still affected by it. But had I not had those experiences, I wouldn't be with you now, you know? And so Stephen, all I can say is I agree with Michael 100%. Get the lawyer, but also look for the opportunity in it because there's always an opportunity. There's always a blessing in every curse. And you named all your accolades, everything that you've been doing. When we were on the show, the last time, I remember how inspiring you were, how you were talking about the community and how you were going to do these things for the community and then to have you, you know, go through this experience is just forcing you out there to do all the things that you said you always wanted to do. Mm-hmm. That's just my thoughts and my comments. Go over to Jophia real quick because I want to bring you into the conversation. You know, again, Stephen and Rebecca are being so vulnerable. This just happened. It's happening in real time and they're sharing this experience. What are your thoughts?
I'm so sorry to hear this happened to you. Sorry, I couldn't really add anything because I'm not too familiar with the situation in the US right now. I know that with all this COVID situation, everything is going crazy and it makes things really, really hard. But the good thing that you two are there for each other and I can just relate what Michael, Frederick and Sharifa said, that stay strong and find the opportunity in that.
Yes,
thank you.
I really keep fingers crossed for you guys.
Thank you.
And one thing that comes to mind too is reach out, you know, you'd mentioned, you know, that you talked to people that worked with you at that organization, your outside vendors and whatnot. When you feel comfortable, reach out to those people just to let them know, not that, hey, you know, they wrongfully terminated me. Just, you know, let them know I'm no longer with this organization. You know, let's have conversations about, ideas. You're not necessarily going to them to ask for a job, but ask them for ideas. Where, you know, where do you see me doing something really well? You know, obviously the community work,
right?
It sounds like it's something that's important, but you know, reach out to those people, not, you know, not to look for a job, just to say, okay, you know, where do you think, you know, your strengths are, and, you know, some ideas to help you, you know, find your next adventure, whether it's doing something completely on your own or, you know, working with another one of those organizations. You know, there's a few times in my career where I was working for an organization and ended up working for one of the vendors of the organization. It's because they know, it's like, well, what, your perspective is good and that you understand how to work with them. So there's plenty of opportunities, and by no means do not let a pandemic, you know, give you any type of scared fear about not being able to find a work. I know a ton of people that have switched jobs in the middle of this pandemic. They're there. It's just figuring out, you know, what you want to do. And this is a great opportunity. And I implore people, especially during this pandemic where things are a little out of sorts, is, you know, take the opportunity to go, okay, if I have a clean slate, what would I want to do?
Right.
And go find it. And absolutely, it's there. It's there. Absolutely. And this is a perfect opportunity. And I've done it, you know, my better half did it. She, you know, she's one of those people. You know, she found a new role that's much better than the place she left, and she's thrilled with it. She still wants us to win the lottery, but you know, at least, but I'm like, well, you know, I'm working on it. You go yell at the people at the lottery center. They're not picking the right numbers. There's something defective going on there. But long story short, she enjoys, you know, where she's at now. And it's just, take a little time and just figure out, okay, what would I like to do? Ideal world, what would I like to do? And look for those things. And I think that you'll be pleasantly surprised that those opportunities will start showing up, especially when you're good and you're good. So that it happens, you know, people go, wow, you know, Steven's out there. Okay, we need to bring him on. Or, you know, I've seen people create roles for amazing people just because we need you in our universe, and they do it. And it's a beautiful thing to experience.
I agree. I've had that happen for me as well.
Yeah, no, thank you. You know, it is funny because we spend so much time inspiring others to, you know, to be in good health and to do the right thing and to take control of their own destiny. Sometimes it's nice. It actually, not sometimes, it's always nice when you have a group of individuals like yourself pouring back into us, because we give so much of ourselves to the community and to, you know, to the world. And it's always nice to have someone lift you up. So thank you everyone for those kind words. And, you know, at this time.
Absolutely.
What I say to the kids all the time is, if you want to do great things, you got to get out of your comfort zone. And that's what, I was comfortable at work. You know, I was comfortable at doing this and that. And when I lost my job, I was like, damn. Working there 14 years.
Oh, wow.
My old job, I was working there 14 years until I lost my job because I got hurt. And then that's when I had to, like, man, I better start reading. I better start getting out of my comfort zone. So, right. Yeah, if you want to do great things, then the good Lord always takes you out of where you're comfortable and puts you, like me. I'm in a lot of uncomfortable situations, but this lady at church one day told me, because when I would speak in front of hundreds of people, I would get this. I would feel like it's a curse sharing people how I overcame, you know, growing up on welfare and all of these things. But she said, you know, it's a blessing to share people what God did in my life and how you can overcome, you know, tragedy, mm-hmm, to try.
Absolutely.
But it's a blessing for you, Stephen.
Absolutely.
You have to leave our comfort zone to find great things. I can truly, truly agree. It happened once to me. I was working for a multinational company and I took 1 month off for unpaid leave to go for a language course. And by the time I came back, they told me that it cannot be an unpaid leave. They just don't approve it after I was back. So I asked them that, okay, what now? And they said that, okay, they take away all of my free days, so holiday days. And I was in the middle of the year having no holiday days at all. So I couldn't even go to a doctor appointment or, you know, nothing. It was so uncomfortable and so hurtful that we agreed in words and from some bureaucratic reason, they just said that it cannot happen. So I said, okay, then I just resign, I leave. And I had no backup option. So it was really out of my comfort zone. I have been working for this company for 5 years. And then I said that, okay, thank you. I need to find something else. And I was there without a job. And I knew that I don't really want to do the same thing anymore. And what I did, I just figured out a little niche I wanted to do. It was really, really a small thing. I checked which companies are working in that field. I found like 4 companies in the world. I dropped them an email that, hey, I'm here, can I work for you? And one of them came back and said, yeah, you're welcome. I had to relocate. I even had to change countries. I still think about how could I be so brave in retrospect. I can't even imagine how I did that, but I took a deep breath and just went ahead and out of my comfort zone, and something really, really great came out of it. So I hope it will be great for you in the end.
Thank you.
And if it is not great, then it's not in the end. Don't forget. <Right. laughs>
Thank you very much.
I love that. I love that. One of my favorite expressions. Everything works itself out in the end. If it hasn't worked itself out, it's not the end.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yes, and I agree with Jofia as well. You have each other. That's the most important thing. I would take some time to go have some fun. You know what I mean? Do something wild and crazy. I don't know, you know? But take some time and just have fun before you go start this next career. I'm sure Rebecca has a laundry, a honey-do list.
We actually are taking time. My parents are driving from Colorado to Florida. They're moving there. It's a big cross-country move. And we're going to meet them down in Florida and help them unpack and get everything ready. So we're going to kick back by the pool and
just clear heads.
Clear head and regroup, you know?
Yeah. Yes. That's just enjoy life. Life is to be lived and enjoy. I think it is so wonderful what you're doing. And you know what? Keep me updated. Come back. I got to follow this. You know, when you come back with your new vision, I want to be a part of it. Because I know it's going to happen by the pool. You're going to be sitting there talking to each other. And all of a sudden, it's going to be like, why don't we do this?
Yeah,
and then I'm like, okay. Little voice needs to say, we gotta tell Sharifa. Like, we gotta, I wanna be a part of whatever it is you decide to do. I wanna be a part of it. I love this.
Yep, you'll definitely be the first to know.
Thank you. Now, I had such a wonderful time. I love how when guests are vulnerable and share their stories, and just, it's such an amazing thing. And one of the commonalities that I kind of noticed is when Michael led, he talked about everything basically happened in a year. You know, and then as Frederick opens up, it's like everything hit him all at once. And I have a friend, my dear friend, I've known forever. She's going through a divorce and she laughs now. She calls herself the Black Cloud. It's like, because everything just kind of kept happening. She got a flat tire, like everything was happening. But sometimes you just have to go through those things to get to the sunshine on the other side. That's just my soapbox for this morning. But what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives, and simply let everyone know what you would like for them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Jofia. Oh,
with me? Okay, I didn't have time to think it through all of a sudden. So first of all, thank you so much for having me here, and I'm so thrilled to meet all of you guys. And for the audience, if I can let out one message, that dare to ask for help in every situation, if your life, but also in your work. So if you feel overwhelmed, if you feel that you hate a task, it's too much, you can do it, or someone else could do it better, or you could use the time better when instead of doing this task, think about the opportunity, which is open for everyone. You don't even have to be an entrepreneur to seek for a little virtual help from somebody. So I hope it will work out good. And I really, really keep the fingers crossed for Stephen for his future challenge in his career. Thank you.
You are so welcome. You don't have to plan it. This is the most beautiful moment. I love this moment of the show. I appreciate you for being here. Frederick, what do you have for us?
Yeah, first I'd like to thank you again, Sharif, for having me on. What I'd like to share with the audience is whatever vision you have, if you want to do great things, follow your vision. But always be open to other people's opinions too, but follow them, your vision where you want to go. Like when I first started speaking, people try to tell me go to this class and that class, and so I can get comfortable in front of speaking in front of people. And that's true, you know, you got to be organized. But what people didn't understand is I when I speak, the vision I have is I want to go up there nervous. I want to go up there, feel like I want to faint and pass out because I'm trying to reach the person in there who think they can't do it. I ain't trying to speak to the person who already know they can. And so that's why I like going up there nervous and shaking. So when somebody sees that, they're like, man, I can do that. That's the person I'm trying to reach. And that's what a lot of people don't understand when I first started off, that they wanted me to go up there and be confident. But yeah, for me, if I'm confident, I'm cocky. So that's the vision I had. So I want to go up there nervous so I can go up there, you know, with a clean conscience, a clean heart, and inspire others. But whatever vision you have, don't let nobody take you away from the vision you have, because that's your vision. But thank you so much.
You are so welcome. That was beautiful words to live by. I love it. Michael, what do you have for us?
Thank you so much for everyone's time today and for watching this. And real quick, Frederick, nervous energy and excitement energy is basically the same thing. So it's good that you're nervous because you're excited about being able to speak and impact lives. So congratulations to you, and continue being out there on stages and sharing your story and inspiring others. As we've talked about today, some similar stories and the themes of everything that we've been talking about, challenges that we faced or are facing. The key thing is you'll get through this, and you have the perseverance and resilience to be able to do it. You've come this far in your life, no matter where you are at, and not to give up at this point. And life is going to be grand for you. Create goals, write down your goals of what you want to do when you for the next 5 years. I always say, write goals when you grow up, but Jimmy Buffett tells us growing up is a trap, so don't do it. Just live your life the way that you want to live it. You give yourself permission to live the life that you want to live. If you're burning out and you're stressed out, seek help. There's a ton of resources online that are easily accessible, or you can reach out to me. I know that and the links will be provided and all that. More than happy to guide you in whatever way that we can to get you back to the life that you deserve to live. So again, thank you for this opportunity today.
You are so welcome. I think that's wonderful. And it was something key in what you said. When I had lost everything that I owned, except for the clothes on my back, I was walking and I just kept saying over and over, God, you didn't bring me this far just to bring me this far. And that's what I live by. I did not come this far just to come this far. So I know that there are great things ahead. So thank you for that. Steven, Rebecca, go ahead and take us out.
I want to say that it's easy for all of us, no matter who you are, no matter the color of your skin, no matter your political beliefs, it's easy to work and earn money by saying, I stand up for truth. Mm-hmm. Or I do what's right. I'm a compassionate person. I believe in equity. But it's one thing to really let that play out even when there's really no benefit. And I want to say for all those individuals out there, take my example. When you're not being treated right, don't be afraid to stand up for truth. Don't just say it. Don't just retweet it. But do it. Justice is an action. Equity is an action. You have to actually do something to make it happen. And don't be afraid, even for those who claim to share in those beliefs, do not be afraid to hold them accountable.
You need to know your own worth. Absolutely. You're worth more than drama and headaches.
Absolutely.
Wow, that was so beautiful. Did you just see the love there? It was going across the screen like little bows. I thought that was so cute. That is so cute. Thank you both. I'm so glad you decided to join us. I want to thank you all for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who's watching the show in the archives. I definitely appreciate your support. Please don't forget to share the show as well as visit our guests. Their links are in the Facebook post above. Follow them on social media. And when you send that message, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. And if you are interested in being a guest, please visit the website at AskSharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Bye. Bye.